Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, this one is about as simple as it gets. Welcome to Agitators Anonymous. This is the Tuesday bonus discussion, rock, metal, music, blah-de-blah-de-blah, all those kind of things. This one does what it says on the tin. It's a pretty easy listen with my good friend Adi from Solstafir from Iceland. And these are kind of part of a series of just chats we do about pretty big, pretty mainstream bands. You don't get more big or more big, bigger or more mainstream than AC/DC. So, if you don't like AC/DC, well, okay, we will forgive you for fast-forwarding until Friday when there will be a bit more discussion about some other interesting things that happened. But this is just me and Adi going over the first half of AC/DC's career and just debating the albums, discussing the band, all that kind of thing, looking back through history, you know, going over elements of our own childhood, our own upbringing, what the band meant to us, all that kind of thing. And yeah, AC/DC is kind of like the prime mover, one of the first bands you ever get into. And for me, it was somewhere around, I guess, 83 or 84 or 85, whatever, as you will find out if you listen to me and Adi talking nonsense for the next however long. All right, this is Tuesday's bonus Agitators Anonymous. It's just a little bit of rock and roll, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we will see you on Friday for something a little bit different.
Recording in progress.
Okay, no cursing then.
No cursing. It's fucking shit everywhere. I mean, that's a fucking weird thing, isn't it? It's like a hologram.
Yeah, that's not. Oh yeah, that's, whoa, it's like a Psycho Circus by Kiss.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Psycho Circus. Hey, before, you know that Kiss reformed with all the fucking stuff on, and the only city I think that they didn't sell out on that tour was Dublin. There were so low ticket sales for the reformed Kiss with paint on that they cancelled the show, which I'm quite
proud. Talking about are you talking about 96?
Yeah, I'm quite proud of. Ireland went, meh, don't like that.
Well, the things that you're proud of, you shouldn't talk about them.
it's fucking weird. They came back everywhere, and Dublin went, ugh, no, we don't really like it.
Well, I saw them in 1996 in Donington, and they were fucking killer.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not talk about Gene Simmons here.
Okay. So, AC/DC. Seeing as there was such an incredible demand from everybody after our incredible Metallica opus that we should do an AC/DC one.
But everybody asked me if we should do a Saxon.
Saxon, yeah.
Well, I'm not doing a Saxon series.
Why not? What else are we doing?
They haven't done a good album, so.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's a good start, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, to begin with, it's kind of weird. AC/DC, because you sort of get into AC/DC around.
Yeah, when did you start?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Actually, you get into AC/DC sort of like Metallica prior to the internet, and the first thing I hear is sort of Who Made Who, Maximum Overdrive.
Whoa!
Yeah, I have it, man.
No, but that's the one I was reaching for before you even said that.
So, yeah, so this is the first thing that I heard with AC/DC.
Same for me.
And so this is, and then of course, this is 86.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, the Razor's Edge comes out, right?
No.
What's in the between?
Hang on. Between?
Is it?
No, you've got.
Oh, is it? Blow up your video.
Yeah, blow up your videos next.
Yeah. But okay. This is not a good album.
Well, hang on. Are we going to start at the start, or is this what we do?
Yeah, okay, let's start at the start. Anyway, so my point is, this is the first thing I heard.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I go into the Razor's Edge. So that's sort of your vision of AC/DC as a young man. But right. As a grown man, I would have, you know, late teens, early 20s, I would sort of dive more into it. And today, I just would say Power Edge is my favorite album. And of course, I've investigated their whole career to the first song they did. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you sort of
first
impression is, you know, Who Made Who and Razor's Edge. But, you know, anyway, first album. Different version, mate.
Okay, let's look at that. Well, okay. First things first. Which record label is yours? Mine is Atco Records, Warner Communications, made in Germany, 1976.
Yeah, so, this is the funny thing with AC/DC. The first albums, it's European edition, it's American and Australian. So you can find some. You can find some of these albums with three different album covers and three different track lists.
Okay, so what's yours? I mean, what I love about this one is, I don't know if on the back it has all the letters from their school, you know.
Yeah, same.
Same, all right.
Okay, but read me the track list. What's song one?
Okay, you've got A Long Way to the Top.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Singer.
Yeah.
The Jack.
Yeah, and The Wire.
Live Wire. Side two.
And then
TNT.
Yeah.
Can I Sit Next to You, Girl?
Yeah.
Little Lover.
Yeah.
She's Got Balls and High Voltage.
And High Voltage, yeah, okay. So this is the same track listing, but different cover.
Right.
Album cover. So I guess I'm not, you know, an expert on this different track list. I think, for example,
right,
Little Lover isn't on all of them.
Okay, well, according to Wikipedia, High Voltage in 1975, Australia only. Then TNT is the same year, Australia only. And they're slightly different albums. The difference of which... the first thing is... Oh, no, hang on. 74 Jailbreak. Where the fuck is that?
74 Jailbreak isn't 74 Jailbreak.
No, it came out in 1982. But I have that on record. Where the fuck is it?
No... Well, then again, we will get into that. That's weird because it didn't come out in 82 because Bond is on it, right?
Yeah, no, it did come out and it was released in 1982, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I have it on... Uh-oh, wait a second.
What is it?
There's 74 Jailbreak. Look. So I think the other songs, including Jailbreak, which are on the TNT release that aren't on High Voltage. I have fucking...
Yeah, this is the confusion about the Australian version and the American and the European.
Where's my fucking record of it, though?
I think I have a CD that has a different track list. Anyway, what do you think of this album?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fucking... Little Lover, I could do without, but the rest of it is fucking amazing. I mean, it's...
It's A Long Way to the Top. Brilliant song, right?
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Singer, another brilliant one.
Yeah.
She's Got the Jack. It's all right. It's all right. Live Wire, fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's off the chart.
TNT, I mean, you know, it's a killer song.
Yeah.
Bond is great in it.
Yeah.
High Voltage, fucking killer.
Yeah. She's got balls.
It's like...
Class. I'm not so much into Can I Sit Next to You, Girl. Like, the more, before they found the hard sound, which you can tell, I'm not. I mean, having said that, if you look at 74 Jailbreak is amazing. Soul Stripper and Show Business, Baby Please Don't Go. I mean, they're kind of covers. They're more kind of bluesy soul rock, but
yeah, yeah. Baby Please Don't Go, sort of. Remains of the way beginnings. What song did the original singer again, this Evans guy, sing here?
I think.
Can I sit next to you, Carl?
Yeah.
Is it that one?
I think so.
So that's the only song prior to Bon here, right?
I think so, yeah. My God, there's a
lot. You know.
Can I sit next to you, girl? Yeah, with Dave Evans. School Days is a
School Days.
Code of version of Chuck Berry. School Days isn't on our version of the European
version.
School Days is
But anyway, so this is a killer first album. You know, there's a few fillers. We can, you know, we can't expect all of them to be fucking perfect, right?
No, I know it's and somewhere before the end of this, I'll find my 74 jailbreak. But no, it's incredible, and I mean, I prefer this artwork. I think it's pretty iconic, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't really a good artwork, right?
No, I don't think so. Although I mean, I know people who would love it because it's shite. You know, the kind of people
but
who wear...
The one you have... hold on, there is another one, right? There's Ellen.
TNT. Okay. That's a totally different one. TNT TNT is like a box, which looks kind of cool, of TNT.
Okay, so, Ellen. Okay, here. Okay, so this is interesting. I forgot about this. So the track list here.
Yeah.
This is crazy. This is like the Australian version or something.
Right.
I mean, no, this can't be. Why am I not aware of this? You want to know the track list here?
Hey, of course I do.
Baby, Please Don't Go.
First. So from before Jailbreak. Okay.
She's Got Balls. Okay. Little Lover.
Okay.
Stick Around.
Stick Around. I don't know this song. I don't.
Soul Stripper.
Yeah.
You Ain't Got a Hold on Me.
Yeah.
Love Song and Show Business.
Okay, so that's like a mixture of mostly 74 Jailbreak.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, this is so fucking confusing, man.
How cool
yeah,
is
it's brilliant. Yeah, so I'm guessing if this is the Australian version, maybe
it could be a bootleg. Where's it printed? Where's it pressed?
No, I mean it says EMI and Albert, and you know it's a.
All right, Fat Albert.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is 1974 Albert Productions.
Okay.
Yeah, this is probably the Australian version. Can you Wikipedia High Voltage Australia edition version?
High Voltage Australia only, okay. Track listing. Ew, Baby, Please Don't Go. She's Got Balls. Little Lover. Stick Around. Yeah. Okay, so this is the Australian version.
This is the Australian version, which is not as good album. I mean, it's missing High Voltage. It's missing all TNT.
It's missing the opener. Which is one
that... Yeah, so the Australian version of High Voltage, it's not a good album.
No, I don't think so.
No.
So the record company in reimagining this did a very good job. Somebody sat down and went, you know what? It's a Long Way to the Top. Has to be the opener. I mean, it has to be the opener, right?
I mean, this album is basically it's a Long Way to the Top and TNT, Rock and Roll Singer, High Voltage... You know, Live Wire. I mean, that's sort of the songs of this album.
Yeah.
This makes this a fucking awkward thing, the Australian version.
Yeah. And with all due respect, this has still probably got to be one of the greatest debuts of all time in rock and roll. It has to be, doesn't it?
Sure. I would say it's there. I mean, you know, let's... Hold on. So, if we continue... you want to talk more about this album?
I don't know. I mean...
So, in that, what's the next album?
How fucking cool do they look on the back in the photos, though? I mean, it's so.
Rickenbacker. Oh, it's of course it's Mark on bass here with a fucking Rickenbacker.
Yeah. And even Malcolm Young looks fucking cool as fuck on the back here.
Okay, so but we can talk about one thing though. Is that this is of course. They had a singer before. They did some shows.
Yeah.
So And they find Bon.
Yeah, he was in a band called Fraternity, which is a sort of like...
Yeah,
a-
and the Valentine's. So West, he was in two bands, Fraternity and the Valentine's. What's it called?
The Valentine's, yeah.
So yeah,
the, so... So the doo-wop the, band. So the thing...
One, about, yeah.
No, go on.
One of them was almost like a Beatle-era band.
Yeah.
You can see him like with the same haircut as George Harrison in 1962.
Yeah.
Then, of course, he had toured Europe before. Yeah. He had been living in England, so he was almost like a has-been of burnout.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I always said that, the, in a way, and it always used to piss people off back then when you'd argue about AC/DC, that, I mean, Bon Scott wasn't the dyed-in-the-wool rock and roll, like rock and roller biker kind of guy. I mean, in Fraternity, he was wearing beads and kind of like flowery shirts. I mean, he wasn't the archetypal... I mean, of course, he was in one respect, but in another respect, he kind of changed his... Maybe that's what you did in the early 70s, but he changed that a few times, you know?
But then again, Alan, if you look at it, I mean, so Bon joins AC/DC in what, 75?
I guess it must be, yeah.
Okay, so Bon is... A veteran rock and roller, right?
Yeah.
He's toured the world. He's missing teeth. He's a raging alcoholic. Rides a motorbike. He almost died from a motorcycle accident.
True.
He has fucking tattoos.
Yeah.
Who had tattoos in 1975 except for sailors?
Just true.
So, I mean, you know, but even in the 80s, the guy with the tattoo was the, sort of the bad boy living on the hill that he would never fuck with, right? Here comes Bon in 1975 with tattoos. So he was a kind of a wildcat, though.
Yeah,
the funniest thing was that, I mean, he's probably mid-20s when he dies. No, when he joins. Mid-late 20s.
Yeah, he was definitely older than everybody. I mean, 74 Jailbreak, Angus Young is, I think, 15 or 16.
Angus couldn't be inside the bars when they were starting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's the second album again? Is it this one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Which to me, this is one of the kind of the weirdest records in the AC/DC catalog, in the sense that when I was a kid, when I finally got it, it was quite hard to find. I mean, not only is the cover fucking shit, the logo shit, the whole AC/DC thing is not yet crystallized. There's brilliant songs on it. Then there's also, I don't know, there's some songs on it I don't really get at all. But when you look at the track list here, it's pretty fucking special, really.
This is the weird thing, Alan, about AC/DC. They've had 4 or 5 logos. So this is one of them. So see?
Yeah, that's terrible.
This is one of them. And of course you have this one, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And of course the current one is the 4th. I think there's the 5th one.
Yeah. I mean, look, do you have a lyric sheet in yours? How fucking weird is that?
No, I mean, but this is probably, I didn't buy this new, of course. I bought this second hand somewhere.
Okay, this is 76 Warner. Atlantic Records with the famous.
Yeah, it's the same as mine. But then again, I mean, there's songs here.
It's the first famous Atlantic, you know? I mean, there is brilliant. I mean, Ride On is an absolute fucking.
Okay, so.
Classic.
Tell me, what do you think about the title track?
I think it's cool. I mean, one thing that I found really strange about this album is that I find this. The songwriting is very simplistic, almost more simplistic than some of the songs from High Voltage, and certainly more simplistic. And like, I mean, there's going to be some rockin' and Ain't No Fun Waiting Around or just classic barroom boogie. There's almost one riff to Waiting Around to Be a Millionaire. You know what I mean? Like two riffs. It almost reminds me of Status Quo sometimes, or like it's...
Sure.
And you look at 1 year later, they're getting into much more. Like there's no riff-raff. There's no bad boy boogie. There's no anything with nuanced songwriting, even though... I mean, Rocker and Problem Child are more or less the same fucking song, you know.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, the Problem Child is on. It's on the next album as well.
It's this version.
Exactly.
They took the song "Crapsody in Blue" off. Well, we'll get to that anyway.
Yeah, but so this album, I can't really remember the story. It doesn't come out in America at the same time.
Yeah, it came out in America in 82, I think.
Yeah, so it's this whole catalog is so confusing. They're making 74 and 82. They're making songs with Bond in 1986 on Maximum Overdrive. So it's
the story is, I think that this album was released on the back of, at one stage in the American Billboard top two was Back in Black. And then For Those About to Rock comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in Black goes back up to number two, to two. And they released this on the back of that, and that goes to three. Yeah.
So that's crazy. Stage,
one, two, and three, I think.
Yeah.
1982.
So I think, I mean, like I say, Dirty Deeds is such an okay song.
Love It First Feeling. I could do without that.
It's not a really good song. Big Balls, it's crap. Sorry, yeah, it's crap.
Yeah,
it's Rocker, it's not a great song. Come on.
Not as good as Thin Lizzy the Rocker, that's for sure.
No, like, for sure. Problem Child is a good song.
Yeah.
There's gonna be some rocking.
It's okay, yeah, I like it.
It's okay, yeah, yeah. Ain't no fun, yeah. Waiting around to be a millionaire.
But what makes that song is the lyrics, I think. And
sure.
Like, Bon Scott makes some very straightforward songs, gives them character and personality on this. This is when he comes into his own to take the songs to another level. You could imagine,
yeah,
if you put some crappy, really crappy mundane lyrics, this wouldn't be as good record. But still,
but it's very much, yeah, it's very much, it's very much Bon Scott, same as Gonna Be a Rock and Roll Singer.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we would go to Powerade's Down Payment Blues, he's basically singing about being a poor rock and roller wanting to be a rock star, right?
Yeah.
Right On is a great song.
Classic, yeah. Total classic. Yeah.
Great, but it's very much CC Top stuff here.
In a way, yeah. But it's also, I mean, that the solo in Right On is one of my favorite Angus Young solos, you know, near the end.
Yeah.
Squealer is a great song. It's a great song.
Squealer is cool. Squealer is cool. Yeah.
What about that bass line? Do 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 do. The bass line is classic, you know.
Yeah, it's good, but you know, it's just not. This is, it's not one of the best albums, right?
No, certainly not. No.
Album cover is weird. Shit. Logo is not the best logo. So,
I mean, the live pictures of the band inside.
I don't have that on mine. I have this CD somewhere else, but I lost it.
They're fucking cool. The band pictures are real. Sort of murky black and white sort of thing going on.
You think this? Oh yeah, this is cool. Yeah, yeah. This is the original one.
Yeah.
Let me see the album. Is it the same Atlantic Classic Post?
Yeah, this one. Exact same.
Yeah, yeah.
What color is your? Is that orange or is it more?
It's orange.
How deep is the orange? Mine is very deep.
It's like the Dutch national football team.
Okay, see, mine's darker. That's proper nerd stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
No, the lyric sheet. I mean, why you'd need a fucking lyric sheet, I don't know. Because it's like an old thrash metal lyric sheet. But yeah, the pictures of the band are the grim black and white backstage pictures. They're much cooler than the album cover. I mean, look at this picture here. Check it out.
Yeah, it's like Brazilian black metal.
Yeah, how cool would that be as the album cover instead of the fucking shite album cover we get?
It's kind
of
cool. But this is 1972 press. Some French.
Can't be 72. Weird. Can't be 72.
No, of course not. 82.
82.
Yeah, it's 82. It comes out in 1976, yeah. Okay, what's the third album then?
Well, it's Power Age, isn't it?
Is it Power Age? Fucking hell.
No, sorry, Let There Be Rock. Wait.
Yeah, Let There Be Rock. Okay.
Hang on, where the fuck is my Let There Be Rock?
I have two versions of Let There Be Rock here.
Keep talking.
Okay, I found another one. So I have two Dirty Deeds. Neither one has the inlay. Here it is. So, Let There Be Rock. This is a new edition.
Fuck, I have to find
this one is
hang on.
If you're Icelandic, you'll find this amusing. Þessi plata hérna árituð af Bubba Mortens. Stendur hérna Bubbi Mortens.
What does that mean?
it says if you're Icelandic, you will understand this joke. So you wouldn't understand it, you know. You have to be special.
Special. I'm definitely special.
But you're not that kind of special, mate.
Be careful, don't get me cancelled.
No, I know.
Where the
so?
Hang on.
What's the language, dude?
Okay, hang on.
So this is only floppy. There's no album in here. This is from my DJing days. It's gone.
My record is here. Hang on.
But no, my point is, I bought. See this.
Yeah, yeah.
29 quid. So I bought myself a brand new. Oh, this is so beautiful. It's like. It's not a scratch on it.
That's what you so want. So I have scratches. A. Fuck you.
Check this out, man. See. Well, it's a reissue. Reissue.
This is the original one. How iconic is that fucking picture?
I mean, you know, this is very weird seeing AC/DC with a different. Yeah.
Well, I used to do this thing. I don't know if it's in this record where I used to. This is a fucking mess. Hang on.
Okay. There's some information here.
Oh yeah, go on.
Initially, there were two versions of Rosie. The first had the title "Dirty Eyes," which was issued in '97 as a part of the Bonfire box set.
It's on this. Oh yeah. Well.
Oh yeah. So you have the Dirty Eyes one. Dirty oh yeah. That's eyes. More. There's.
Yeah, it's on the box set. The whatever.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we see the proper logo, though.
So this is the main arrival of the classic logo. So they've been changing logos every album until there.
And I would say I would call this the first time we really get the real AC/DC, where in a sense the riffs start to become the driving force behind the band, not just Don Bond's personality. I think if you look at Dirty Deeds as a step backwards from the High Voltage, almost.
I mean, Dirty Deeds.
This is a big step forward, and it's fucking heavy.
I mean, this is a guitar-oriented, very heavy album, but Dirty Deeds is not.
No.
It's not. It's
Dirty Deeds is more boogie rock, and it's a bit more...
With way too many fillers. So yeah. Here, this is not a filler album.
No, absolutely not. So on your reissue, side track two... Side two on my vinyl is Crab City in Blue, which I think is replaced by Problem Child for you, right?
No, side two has Problem Child's one.
Yeah.
Second track is Overdose.
Okay.
Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be and Whole Lotta Rosie.
See, look here, right? The original one is Crab City in Blue, a kind of jokey song about having crabs. It's rubbish. It's just a slow, sadly walking sideways gives me the
I can't even remember hearing that song.
Yeah, it's a really kind of throwaway song, which they
okay, Alan, here on my other version,
yeah,
it is here.
Crab City
Overdose. Yeah, Crab City in Blue. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. And Overdose is one of my favorite ever AC/DC songs. It's an absolute fucking incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that was when Bon was fiddling with heroin, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, look at, but like Bad Boy Boogie, that's got to be like top 10 AC/DC songs ever made. That is an absolute...
So, you know, okay, let's go over this. Go Down. Yeah. Fucking killer, right?
Yeah, total.
Doggy Dog.
Yeah, same.
I can just see Bon Scott moving on stage singing Doggy Dog.
Yeah.
Well... Let the Rock is, I mean, as good as it fucking gets. Even the video when he's jumping from the fucking altar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy shit.
And it's so heavy. It's almost like thrash metal. Almost.
Yeah, and the thing is, what you hear on the album is Phil Rudd doing...
Yeah.
It's so simplistic, so long. It's like almost 6 minutes or something.
Yeah.
He did it in two takes.
Yeah.
The second take is on the album.
Oh, he's an animal. So, I mean, watch the footage of them playing live around 77, 78. The one, Rock Goes to College, if anybody watching this has never seen it, AC/DC Rock Goes to College is just, maybe that's, I don't know how any band could have followed them in 78 at that time, you know? But and then what? Let Me Rock. You can in that opening, dang, I mean, you can hear like fucking Discharge. You can hear fucking Venom. I mean, it's so heavy. It's heavier than what Motorhead were doing at the same time, you know.
So yeah, I mean, Motorhead sort of are starting when this is sort of you know, and it's they're a proper band here. And AC/DC have always said they've never praised anyone basically except the Rolling Stones or maybe ZZ Top in later years. Mm-hmm. So. Point being, there's that they've always been like, fuck you.
Yeah.
We're the best. No one else matters.
Yeah, fair enough, I think.
So, and their whole mentality has always been like that. So, this whole Malcolm Young, you know, crazy, don't stand in our way. Here we are.
And I mean, like, you've got the last two, Hell Ain't About Basically to Be into Whole Lotta Rosie. I mean, how the fuck could you argue with that? Maybe the reason this isn't my favorite AC/DC record is because of Crapsody and Blue and that there's one filler on it.
Yeah, but that's not on this one here. I mean, here...
But Problem Child is also a filler. You know what I mean?
Sure.
In the context of this album.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Okay, fine. It's even not... It's even on the album before, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is... is this... No. Mark Evans is also on the next album.
Mark Evans isn't on this record. This is... Cliff, is it?
No, this is Mark Evans.
He's not on.
Mark Evans in all is also on Power Edge, I think.
No, he's not, is he?
Is Cliff on Power Edge?
Well, he's definitely. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's hard to say who's. This is not Cliff. This is Mark Evans, but doesn't give me. Oh yeah, Mark Evans bass. Sorry, Mark, if you're watching. Mark Evans.
Sorry, Mark.
Let There Be Rock. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So. This used to be my favorite album by them.
Yeah, I could hear that as an argument.
And I mean, yeah, I would say, you know, they have the eye of the tiger here. I mean, this is so good songs. I mean, but it's still, I mean, compared to how great this album is, the things they were about to do, man.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But also, Let There Be Rock is the last album, I think, that has a kind of really wild recklessness to the tone and the sound. It's almost the intonation is kind of, like, you can feel the heat off the valves. It's so hard as a record.
I think it's what you were saying, this you mentioned Discharge and stuff.
Yeah.
This is not polished like the Rolling Stones.
No.
Even though it is just rock and roll. This is closer to Rolling Stones than, let's say, metal. I mean, metal hasn't really arrived in 1977.
No,
so
I mean, even the first, if you take the bands who AC/DC was influencing, who we call metal, like Saxon is nowhere, wrong record. Saxon is nowhere near as hard. Like, the tone, the attack is so fucking hard in this record.
This is just a Marshall 60s Marshall amplifiers fucking cranked.
I mean, Let There Be Rock is a song when it just, you can almost feel the heat, as I said, heat off the amps and the valves. This is like proper band in a room playing live.
Yeah, exactly. It's just crazy stuff. So are we done with Let There Be Rock?
Yeah, recorded in early 77. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Also, I like the artwork in a weird, it's kind of zombie filter.
This is a great fucking artwork, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, it's fucking killer. I mean.
Yeah, and I like the way that the people's arms are kind of green, like almost like those, you know, like 70s zombie records or something.
Yeah, you can see the filth of the stage and the cables, you know. This appears to be before Angus Young got his wireless in his backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking killer album.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, not my favorite, but when I look at it, if someone said to me that's my favorite, I couldn't really argue with them, you know.
Oh yeah, the next one you're holding is the fifth logo. See, the fifth logo.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the same as... No, it's the fifth logo, man. There are five logos. It's crazy. So this is the best album.
For me...
I don't have it on...
Yeah. I agree with you, actually. This is the AC/DC fans AC/DC album. And I think...
It's a bit of a... Yeah.
I think I couldn't argue. This is my favorite, I think.
Mine as well, but by far. I mean, you know.
I wouldn't say by far. Because there's other ones I love, like it's like in, you know, a tiny, like 9.6, 9.8, 9, almost. But this song, I think the difference with this album is that The tone is less aggressive. The songwriting is better. The structure, the dynamics, but it also...
It's more polished. It's more polished for sure.
Yeah, but when they step down into just some different styles, like Give Me a Bullet is a little bit different. Down Payment Blues is brilliant as a, you know, a sort of slower track. Before, when they did those slower things, I found them a bit jokey. Crapstein Blues, jokey, and whatever, you know.
Yeah. There's no joke there.
There's no joke at all in any of this, you know.
No.
But there was some... Like, and Kicked in the Teeth at the end is one of my favorite ever AC/DC songs. That's just fucking...
It's so funny with Kicked in the Teeth because it's almost like Let There Be Rock song, but not quite.
Yeah.
So, Rita, this album, for instance, was a late love for me.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, this... I can't remember when I sort of got into it, but obviously... I had, you know, like I said before, there was the Who Made Who, and then, of course, you discover Razor's Edge, then you go back, then you sort of love Highway to Hell, and then my favorite is Let There Be Rock, and sort of then this one sort of comes.
So do you have the original vinyl there? This is the original?
No, this is a CD album for me, and I don't have the CD here. I never had this, I never had a fancy vinyl of this.
Because there is as I understand it, maybe I have it. Cold Hearted Man, which is on side B, which is a great song. Kind of, where is a kind of dark, sort of almost soul type song. I think that was taken off the record.
I'm gonna tell you a funny.
It's a brilliant song.
Funny story.
Hearted Man.
So, Alan, look at that photo.
Yeah.
Look at that photo.
Yeah.
This is from the same photo session as the photo on Highway to Hell.
Is it?
Yeah, same photo session.
How do you
know
that? Oh, same white t-shirt or?
This is the same clothes, if you will. This is the same photo session as you see the photo on Highway to Hell.
Well, then I'm sure they're not a band who like getting together to have photo sessions. They didn't see it straight.
So read the, I don't have it in front of me. The track list.
I mean, well, you got Rock and Roll Damnation.
I mean, that's, even they have Marrakesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're doing something like
Maracas.
I don't know. Maracas. What did I say?
Hey, Rock in Marrakesh. Marrakesh.
Maracas. 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 I'm Maracas.
Yeah. Give Me a Bullet. Brilliant.
It's brilliant. So two, but neither one of them is a hit, right?
Down Payment Blues.
Fucking loves. Yeah. Story of my life. I mean, got myself a Cadillac, but I can't afford the gasoline.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have a Dodge Stratus outside my house. I couldn't afford to fix it.
Yeah.
Sheriff knocking on my door.
Yeah,
I would get eviction notes from the government here because I couldn't pay my down payment blues.
I will say something about Down Payment Blues, and Keith from Destroyer 666 made a great point to me. We were playing this record and we're sitting around, he goes, you know, mate, fucking, he's mentioning Sheriffs he's using American slang of American police and American cars, and he said one of the first times. He says, because all the Aussies I knew, they were like, oh, we prefer older Rose Tattoo from the same year. I was like, what? And they went, because Rose Tattoo is so singularly Aussie. But he said, if you look at the lyrical references, they're making references to American stuff, not Aussie or English stuff. And he just
He goes,
they're making a play for some bigger, broader audience, you know, kind of for the gasoline, sheriff, you know.
Do they maybe say petrol in Australia?
No, but you know what I mean? Like,
Exactly. But he's using American English, basically, or references.
If you're influenced by Chuck Berry, that's obviously what you're going to do. But it's just sort of interesting in that it wasn't like, you know, whatever the English or the Australian language.
Sure, but then you said it as well.
It doesn't take away from it. It's just something, it's just an interesting
thing. Yeah, but then again, I get it. He's not using Australian references, but he's using rock and roll references.
Exactly.
And Chuck and Little Richard... Chuck Berry and Elvis, they were not from Melbourne. So,
And also, if you listen to Thin Lizzy, I mean, Phil doesn't talk about the Gardaí Síochána, or he's not mentioning, like, sometimes he mentions Dublin things, but actually, I shouldn't have said that. He mentions
talking about
Yeah.
Don't talk shit about Phil Lynott, mate.
No, I was just saying that at all. I just realized
they will have you evicted.
Riffraff, can't argue with riffraff. It's a fucking.
I mean, that's just one of the best guitar riff in the universe.
Yeah, and then side two opens up with Sin City, which has a sort of dark, gritty feel to it, which I think is really, really cool.
I think one of the coolest things. So I don't know when YouTube arrived, but one of the first things that I sort of fell in love with watching YouTube was AC/DC is playing. It's 78, I think. They're playing this TV show.
Yeah.
And they're playing Sin City, and Bond has this denim vest. It's a chewing gum.
Yeah.
And, you know, his pants are just like the tightest pants in the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has this tattoo, broken tooth, this mullet haircut.
Yeah.
And there's this, like, the coolest cat on stage ever. Singing Sin City, of course.
Yeah, him and Lemmy, that's about it, really. Yeah. Up to My Neck in You, classic.
Great song.
I mean, super driving rock. Up to What's Next to the Moon is a really strange song, really interesting. Like on this album, they had things which were, I think, were they kind of left out of the albums after this. But like, there's some, there's some counter rhythms going on between bass and guitar and some really... This is one of the reasons why AC/DC is so hard to cover as a band, to get all of the characters within it right. But there's some excellent dynamics going on, like underpinning.
But
the
it's weird. I mean, this album, it doesn't really have. I mean, what is the hit of this song album? Is it Sin City or Riff Raff or
Rock and Roll Damnation? Riff Raff, Sin City, are the
Rock and Roll Damnation can't be the hit of this album, right?
No, that's one of the reasons why people don't talk about it as much.
Yeah, because it's not a Back in Black or a Highway to Hell or
No.
I
think it's almost the most dynamically complete record, in that you've got some songs with like slightly more difficult or different arrangements. You've got some bluesy stuff. You've got some soul-y stuff, and also maybe Bond's best vocals. Maybe
Bond is fucking killer there, man. He's just really killing it. And but then again, I think this is 1978, right, or 9?
78.
78. So he has only two more years to live there.
Yeah. Well, he died on February the 10th or 8th, 1982.
His last gig was January 80.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yeah.
But this is kind of a weird album, when you think about it, because the next one, of course, is Highway to Hell. Well,
wow.
I guess Mutt Lange, of course. I'm not guessing. I know. Mutt Lange had a lot to do with it. This one. This is a fake live album recorded in Glasgow, right?
I don't think it's fake.
It is fake, man.
How do you know that?
I've got my infos.
But you can watch the
even
video
okay.
It's taken from. I mean, of all the live albums out there, this is one of my favorite. Of all the live albums, if you compare it to Live and Dangerous, which is tons of overdubs,
it sounds
live to me.
I think. Okay, I'm hoping I get this right. I think one song here, I think it's Whole Lotta Rosie, is the same version as on Let There Be Rock, only with crowd mixed on top of it.
No, that's not true. It's not the same.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's not. They haven't just taken a track from the record and put crowd into it.
Yeah, that's what I think they did.
I don't think so. It's different. It is different. It's like, I think this is one of the most live sounding live records. And also you can watch some video from this.
Yeah, but Alan, that's what they said about Made in Japan. That's what they said about Kiss Alive. That's what they said about all this. Judas Priest.
I know that. But this is one of the few records that I've heard was actually genuinely live. And I can't really see AC/DC going in and overdubbing things. They don't strike me as that kind of band. Whereas, you take Unleashed in the East, Rob Halford had a cold one night and they redid his vocals. Live and Dangerous has apparently got tons of overdubs on it. But the thing about this is, like, if you listen to it, like, the vocals aren't perfect at all. Like, you would, if they were going to back and do overdubs, I mean, there's different solos. It does say recorded around the world. Okay, it doesn't say specific show. But if you watch, I think that some of the songs from this are on that Plug It In video thing. There's a few recorded in Glasgow. I don't know. It doesn't strike me as not live. I mean, and of all the bands,
I have to ask my specialist friend Smauri. He's the expert on this. But I think
I don't think so, man. I mean, go back and listen to Whole Lotta Rosie. It's a different thing. Solo. It's it, they couldn't have just had the goal to just place the song. Are you gonna? I thought you were about to play it there. No, I mean it's. I'm pretty sure it is about as near to live as you could imagine. Maybe I'm wrong, but like.
Well, you know, we'll never know for sure. But you know, I don't think. I mean, people weren't really doing real live albums in the 70s, even in the 80s. Well,
it was possible to make them, but of all the bands to not go and overdub things, it strikes me that you, the way AC/DC were, you couldn't have imagined. I mean, you watch them play on that Rock Goes to College thing and you see how incredibly tight they are. They don't need to go in and overdub things. The vocals aren't like falsetto, whatever, you know, they're...
So tell me one thing here. Is it a weird live album? I mean, are they really playing all their hit songs? I mean, no. Riff Raff, of course, is fresh from the album before. Hell Ain't the Bad Place to Be, that's, of course, from Let It Be Rock. Bad Boy Boogie is from Let It Be Rock, the Jack. Rocker, I mean.
Yeah, I could do without the Jack Problem Child and Rocker. I don't know what they're doing there, really. It's weird, like, it's because you're right, there aren't all the songs that are representing from Power Age. They're just, I mean, you've got Rock and Roll Damnation, that's sort of it. Oh, no, Riff Raff, okay, it opens.
Riff Raff, yeah. Sure, you know.
I don't know.
Hey, mate, don't get me wrong. I love this album. It's a good album, but it's, you know, it's the same as the only other fake live albums that I like.
I'm not quite sure how fake it is. Maybe somebody can...
Okay, so I'm going to do this for once. I'm going to ask here in the comment section, if you know that this is a fucking fake album, answer.
Yeah. I don't think it is, but of all the bands who wouldn't do a fake, AC/DC strikes me as the band who wouldn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So somehow over all the years, I've lost my inlay to Highway to Hell. I mean, this is where it all gets very serious, but I only have the fucking record, so. Is that original record or?
Mine.
Yeah.
It's 1979, Albert and Sons.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it's a reissue, but I doubt this is a 1979 press.
Mine is 79, but like I said, I lost the cover. I don't know where it is.
But this is only a one. But I don't know really if there's other editions. This is only the 10 song. Stop this fucking bullshit. Take this away. This is a 10-song album.
Yeah.
Of course, the elephant in the house here is they have a producer who is not their brother.
Yeah. No.
We haven't mentioned that, of course, that their brother, George Young, was a rock star in Australia, and he was sort of, almost on top of his game when it comes to producing. So he produced all the AC/DC albums until this one.
Yeah. And I think Power Age obviously is a very accomplished job, but you can hear even on this one that some of those solely bluesy excesses have been, like, this is super, it's as if they really, you know, it really has been produced to like move the songs into this very lean, muscular style. Even though, of course, it ends with Night Prowler and Love Hunger Man, which, you know, take this step down a little bit, but the first 8 songs, I don't think there's even a note out of place. It's so fucking...
No, but this is obviously this is a Mutt Lange.
Yeah,
the South African Mutt Lange. He is a amazing track record. I'm not sure what make them get him. I don't know what he's famous for.
They were trying to sort of move forward in America.
Probably, because, I mean, this is sort of when big backing vocals and choruses arrive.
Yeah.
I mean, Highway to Hell, of course, being the best example. I mean, it's just this million-dollar chorus with backing vocals.
Yeah, I mean, this is talk about opening your record with maybe one of the most famous guitar riff of all time. I mean,
it's just crazy, yeah. I mean, it's only, 3 minutes, 26 seconds. It's perfect for radio. Mm. Brilliant. Almost like a Rolling Stone-ish guitar riff, except it sounds like AC/DC.
And the cover is so fucking, it's so Incredible.
I mean, you know, this is just, you know, with the whole, you know, tale.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just basically, and you know, and even, Alan, the title, I mean, Highway to Hell. Yeah. I mean,
it's great. Also,
and, you know, the stiff upper lip here on Angus and his Bond's gritty smile. And this is Cliff's first album.
Also wearing, no, Cliff was on Powerade.
Didn't we talk about this before? Is he on Powerade?
He is, yeah. There he is. Are you? He's there.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, he's on Powerade. I checked it.
Oh, yeah, he's on Powerade. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Cliff.
Yeah, but also Bon Scott wearing a pentagram always intrigued me when I was a kid. I was like, uh-huh, Highway to Hell. Interesting.
Of course, the little satanic redhead from Dublin loved it.
I mean, track by track, I mean, what can you say? It's just ridiculous. Girls Got Rhythm, Walk All Over You, so good. Touch Too Much, even
brilliant.
A sort of sexy rock song, Beating Around the Bush.
Wow. I mean, Beating Around the Bush is the fastest AC/DC song ever. And even the riff, it's almost like riff-raff style.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so fast riff.
And Malcolm Young's right hand is fucking off the charts on this.
It's like you couldn't say it's nothing like CC Top or Rolling Stones.
No.
Who you can sort of connect with most AC/DC song, but this is totally AC/DC.
Shut down in flames, get it hot.
I mean, talk about a chorus.
Yeah.
Shut down in flames.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it hot.
So good. If you want
good
blood,
song.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and I as a kid, I mean, I was never really that into it, but Love Hunger Man is cool, but Night Prowler is a fucking evil song. That's a dun, dun, dun.
It's about some serial killer, right?
Well, I think that, I'm not sure about that. I think actually the serial killer himself adopted it. It's Richard.
You think so?
Richard Ramirez, they called him the Night Stalker. But Richard Ramirez, I'm not sure which came first, the song or the serial killer. I think he adopted it. The story goes, he wore an AC/DC cap and he was playing it when he was driving around, is what I seem to have understood.
Okay.
So I could look at Wikipedia, I suppose, couldn't I? Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, what year?
So at this point, Bon, of course, is the coolest cat out there. He's been dibbling in heroin. He's a day drinker. Everybody said that Bon would be drunk all the time. So,
Okay, yeah. So Richard Ramirez, this was 1985. So certainly he was inspired by the song. I'm not inspired, but because he was wearing an AC/DC cap, one journalist, I think, started to call him the Night Stalker. And if I haven't mixed it, people who are into serial killers now, yeah, Night Stalker, it's going to, I'm not wrong. 1985, okay. So I thought it was 1980, the golden era of serial killing.
Let's stay on point here.
Okay, sorry, yeah. So, yeah, you've got... Here's the thing I'm about, like, this era, in that Bond was living in London, right? Now, what I heard was that he was friends with UFO, and, of course, Phil Mogg was quite into heroin at the time. You've got Phil Lynott, I think, was starting to get into heroin then in 1980-81. I don't know if Bond was, I mean, getting into heroin, but certainly he seemed to be hanging around with people who were for sure dabbling in it, you know? Well, Phil Mogg was.
Yeah.
Pete Way was, they were his mates and they were apparently hanging around. And you could see a sort of scene of, the other day I was watching The Greedies, you know, the Sex Pistols and Thin Lizzy having this joke band together. And you just can see about the dozen people who were sort of milling about in that 1980 rock scene in London, taking fucking heroin and stuff. And I for sure Bond must have been around that. Whether he was taking it, I don't know. But it's very
Funny. I think even the song Overdose was about heroin. So that's even a few years before.
Think so?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, this is the thing about these live shows in the 70s, 80s. People think about Zeppelin as the greatest live band, but they were shite in so many gigs. I think Bon was not the best during a lot of these live shows as a singer.
You think so?
The
problem is that we just don't have that much record of it because now everything you do is documented on YouTube. But back then, You're right. There were shows by Zeppelin and The Who that were long meandering messes where they were back and forth off the stage. Which is
never documented, of course.
That's when people look back with rose-tinted glasses at the 70s bands and go, you know, how brilliant they were all the time. But you're totally right. Nobody was documenting every single show. I have a feeling, though, when you read into AC/DC, that, you know, Malcolm and Angus, I have the feeling they wouldn't have tolerated, like, messy shows on the vocals and stuff, you know?
But it's different because, you know, we'll, you know, for the record, we're going to do a part two of this AC/DC stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get into that. I mean, Malcolm, who is, you know, the leader of this gang, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah.
He would later sober up in the 80s.
Yeah, like 80s.
So that's like,
yeah,
so that's like a few years. So they're all drinking, and, well, I think Angus is probably not, but Phil Rudd, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
He was doing his shit. He would leave the band soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Bon fucking died. So, yeah, they were not exactly Christian boys drinking tea here.
No, certainly not. But I if you look at Bon Scott, though, I mean, he's such a fucking, there's not a pick on him. Somehow he manages to maintain this incredible athletic persona in the 70s when they're probably not training and working out and stuff, and he's drinking and he's doing drugs or whatever. He looks like a sort of particular physical specimen that could have taken the battering and still sang riffraff, you know, which by all accounts he did, I guess. But it's
it's kind of funny now because I think he was 34 when he died. Can you Google it up? I'm not Googling anything here. I think he's like 34 when he dies.
You mean Duck Duck Go It?
Yes. Today, I think some. What?
No, I'm just talking to myself. Keep going.
I think someone dying at 34 today, it's very tragic and very young.
February the 19th, 1980. So, yeah, he was born in 46. So 34, yeah, 34 when he died, yeah.
34 when he died. I mean, and if you look at these late pictures of him, he looks more than like 44, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you know,
he kind of always looked sort of old, you know, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty true. I mean, but 36, 34, I mean, you know, when looking 44, you know, he was, I even heard a rumor once from this AC/DC specialist that I know that AC/DC were considering replacing him.
Really? Right. It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is a rumor, of course. I mean, an old rumor. That they were considered replacing him. He was a total drunk, of course.
Yeah.
You know, he would be this happy drunk. And did I tell you the story, though? Because I'm a huge Bon fan. I would go to Mecca, like they say. I would go to, I was living in London.
Oh, yeah.
I would take the tube down to southwest London. I had Googled up, you can find on the internet, a picture of the house that he found was found dead.
Yeah.
Outside of. So I would find the house and I would go to this road called Overhill Road.
Oh, yeah.
In south west London. And I would walk there, find the house. I had Let the Be Rock in my Walkman disc player.
Oh, yeah.
And I was standing outside the house in the parking lot when he died, where he died. I was having this very spiritual rock and roll Zen moment when this lady came out the house and screaming at me what the fuck I was doing staring out through the window like a fucking perv.
Look at this. Oh no, you probably can't see that.
Is it?
It's Bon Scott's death certificate. I just found it. I don't know how to share a page with you, but I just had to take a picture of it.
You don't know that?
I don't know.
No.
How do you share a page? Oh yeah.
Are you asking me now when we're recording this? That's very professional, Averill.
I'll put it on the screen. Yeah. It says dead on arrival, 19th of February, King's College Hospital, Denmark Hill, Ronald Belford Scott. 9th of July, 46, born in Forfar, Scotland, musician. 15 Abbey Court, Morford Crescent, Westminster. Certificate received from blah, 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 blah. acute alcoholic poisoning, death by misadventure, is what it says on the death certificate. Whereas there are many stories about him dying of hypothermia, which is wrong. Who dies of hypothermia in London? But it's
But he was passed out in a car and he could move him, so he just put a blanket in a car. It can, you know.
Yeah, he died of asphyxiation.
We've all been hammered drunk and you will puke, but if you passed out and you can't move.
I'm not a puker.
Well, you're a young son. You have more to learn. But then again, this is funny what you said. He's born, of course, like we know, he's born in Kirriemuir or something in Scotland.
Kirriemuir.
So I've always said this to piss a few people off. They're saying that AC/DC is my favorite Scottish band. So if you have Bon and the Young Brothers, they're all born in Scotland.
Yeah, that's true.
Why aren't they a Scottish band? This is a Scottish band, right?
Well, this is nature or nurture, isn't it? I suppose them and the Bay City Rollers are the best Scottish bands ever, you know?
I'm pretty sure that your friend Keith Destroyer is not going to agree with that.
Yeah. No, he certainly won't. That's true. The two young brothers, the young brothers moved to Sydney, right, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, they all moved as children, but they were born in Scotland. Yeah. Okay, so this album comes out. It's 79, and
I will say at this point, for anybody who doesn't know, they should go and check out Tattoo. The sort of
definitely.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, many sessions I had with my Aussie mates sitting around drinking and whatever, and they would go for Rose Tattoo 79-80 instead of AC/DC. There's something more filthy and gritty about them, but you can hear the same sort of vibe, that sort of, I mean, Nice Boys don't play rock and roll, of course, you know, whatever. I'm not going to start talking about Rose Tattoo, but
Killer, yeah.
certainly people should go, and if they don't know Rose Tattoo, they should.
Well, one might say that Rose Tattoo is the best Aussie band since Aka Daka is Scottish.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go, man.
So it comes out in 79. He's dead in February.
Yeah.
And they don't beat around the bush, if one might say, because they get a new singer, which, by the way, of course, Bon Scott recommended.
Yeah, well, I mean, are we going to start doing the Brian Johnson stuff now? We might as well, I suppose.
No, let's wait with it, you know.
So you just want to do up till, my glasses are fucking broken, man. They're fucking lopsided, like my brain. Anyway, that's not.
I think we should wait with
part two and go do the next 40 years. Do that. Part one is the first 6 or 7 years, and part two is the next 42.
Yeah, but then again, we've talked about how many great albums are here. It's Highway to Hell is great, Power Edge is great,
yeah.
Let There Be Rock is great. So it's three brilliant albums.
Yeah,
the first one is good.
Yeah,
the live one is good. The next 42 years, it's crazy to say it, man.
Yeah, it's insane.
It doesn't have. We're not going to talk about 12 great albums, mate.
No,
it's not 12 great albums.
But I would say, and this is where I think we're going to differ, is that there's more than people think, because I'm all over the 80s and stuff.
Well, you would be surprised. Oh, okay, I look forward to that argument. But
Yeah.
So I think we have a good teaser for that argument here.
All right. Well, then let's stop the part one just in 1980 then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do it.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.